You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. Often with supporting actors in Tanakh, meaning minor characters, the role of the minor character is to somehow keep things on track, meaning that the main characters are doing whatever they are doing, and occasionally they need a reminder, right? Either explicit or inexplicit, intentional or not intentional on the part of the minor character, to keep them where they're supposed to be going, right? How they're supposed to get there, what their role is, right? They need a little nudge in the right direction. This role of minor biblical characters is something which we will see not infrequently throughout this podcast series. I'd like to look today at one such minor character from this week's parasha, that being the character of Avimelech. Now, what is interesting about Avimelech is that unlike other cases where the minor character keeps the main character on track, in the case of Avimelech, this role might easily be lost. Right? There, in other cases, it's obvious that that's what the minor character is doing. With Avimelech, it requires a somewhat subtle look at the character, at the story, and it's not entirely clear that he's doing this intentionally. And nevertheless, this is what he does. First, of course, let's review the story a little bit. So we find ourselves today in Bereshit Perek Kaf. Vayisa misham Avraham artza ha-Negev, vayeshev ben Kadesh uven Shur, vayagar b'Grar. Right, Avimelech travels southward and he ends up in a place called Grar, right, which is in Eretz Plishtim, as opposed to another story which we will look at in a moment, the story of Avraham and Sarah in Egypt. He is still within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Vayomer Avraham el Sarah, ishto achoti hi, vayishlach Avimelech melech Grar vayikach et Sarah. Right, this pasuk bet assumes our knowledge of what went on before. We already know from that previous story, which again we will look at in a moment, from Perek Yud Bet, that Avraham goes down to Egypt there and he decides to, he tells Sarah to say that she is his sister in order that he won't be killed. In other words, if someone would want to marry Sarah, who was beautiful, they would kill Avraham and to marry Sarah. But if she is his sister, then they're not going to kill him. An interesting and complicated story, which we will look at a bit in a little while. But here, this pasuk kind of assumes that we know that, right? Avraham said about Sarah, she's my sister, right? If we didn't know that previous story, we would have no idea what is going on here. But it seems to be already a rote kind of action on the part of Avraham, that this is what happens. And indeed, that's what he says later on. Every place that I would go, I would say that she is my sister. Right? So here again, once again, Avraham says that she is his sister. Vayishlach Avimelech melech Grar v'yikach et Sarah. So Avimelech, the king of Grar, takes Sarah to be his wife. Vayavo Elohim el Avimelech b'chalom halayla. Vayomer lo hincha met al ha'isha shelakachta v'hi b'ulat ba'al. But Hashem comes to Avimelech in a dream and says, you are going to die, because this woman is a married woman. Va'avimelech lo karav eleah. Va'yomer Adonai hagam tzadik, hagoy gam tzadik tzaharog. So Avimelech does not go near her. And he says, God, addressing Hashem, God, will you, my Lord, will you also kill an innocent nation? Halohu amar li achotihi. V'hi gam amra achihu. V'tom levavi uvnikion kapay asiti zot. Right? He said that she was his sister. And she also said that he was her brother. Right? I did this innocently. I did not mean to take a married woman. Vayomer elav ha'elohim b'chalom. Gam alochi yadati ki betom levavcha asit hazot. Ve'echshoch gam alochi otcha mechato li. Al kein lo netaticha lingoa elea. So, Hashem says to Avimelech reassuringly, yes, I believe you. I understand that you did this innocently. That's why I did not allow this to go any further. I did not allow you to go near her. Ve'ata Hashem eshet ha'ish ki navihu ve'itpalel ba'atcha v'chye. Ve'im encha meshiv da ki mot tamut ata v'chol asher lach. Right? So now what you have to do, Avimelech, since I have saved you from from doing anything really bad. Return the woman and go to this man. He's a Navi, he's a prophet, and he will pray for you, right? In other words, that all will be fixed, so to speak. And you will live. But if you don't return her, then you will die, and so will everybody else who is yours. Vayashkem Avimelech baboker, vayikra lechol avada, vayidaber kol hadvim ha'ele beoznehem, vayiru anashim ma'od. Avimelech tells everyone in the morning what he dreamed, and everybody is very afraid. Vayikra Avimelech la'Avraham, vayomer lo, me asita lanu, umechatati lach, kehevete alai ve'al mamlachti chata'a gedola ma'asim, asher lo ye'asu asita imadi. Right, so Avimelech says to Avraham, what were you doing? What were you thinking? Why would you do such a thing? You have caused us to do things that are simply not done. And then, possibly without having received a response, Avimelech continues, Vayomer Avimelech el Avraham, Ma ra'ita kasita tadavar hazeh? Like, what were you thinking that you would do such a thing? Vayomer Avraham, ki amarti, rak ein yirat Elohim b'makom hazeh, v'haraguni al devar ishti. Right, I said there's no God-fearingness. The people are not God-fearing in this place. And therefore, they would kill me for my wife. V'gam omna achoti bat avihi achlo bat imi v'tihili li'isha. Right? And anyway, she is my sister, right? She's my half-sister. V'hine kasher hit'u oti Elohim mi'beit avi v'omar la ki chastech asher ta'asi imadi el kol ha'makom asher nevo shama imi li achi hu. Right? Anyway, this was what we do all the time. Anywhere we go, this is what we do. V'yikach Avimelech tzon v'akar v'avadim u'shvachot v'yitein Avraham v'yashev lo et Sarah ishto. So he returned Sarah to Avraham with the gift of slaves and cattle. V'yomer Avimelech, hinei artzi lefanecha batov be'inech Hashem. Right? Here my land is before you. Choose a place that is good for you. And he invites Avraham to stay somewhere within his land. Ulesara amar, hinei natati elef kesef lachicha, hinei lachesut einayim lechol asher itach ve'el kol ve'et kol ve'nochachat. Right? And he addresses Sarah and says that he has given a gift to her brother, who also happens to be her husband, kind of as a compensation. Va'it palel Avraham el ha'Elohim va'yirpa Elohim et Avimelech ve'et ishto ve'et amhotav va'yeledu. So Avraham prays for Avimelech and everybody is cured. It seems that perhaps they were smitten with something that they were not able to give birth, and now they are. Ki atzor atzar Hashem ba'ad kol rechem leveit Avimelech, right? As I just said, al ke al dvar Sarah eshet Avraham. And that is the end of the story. Now, this story, of course, as I mentioned earlier, begs comparison to the story from Perek Yud Bet of Avraham and Sarai. They're not yet Avraham and Sarai in Mitzrayim, right? Shortly after Avraham and Sarai arrive in Eretz Canaan, they are forced because of a famine to go down to Egypt. Perek Yud Bet, Vayhi Ra'av Ba'aretz, Vayered Avraham Mitzrayim, Alagor Sham Ki Chaved HaRa'av Ba'aretz. Vayhi Kasher Hikriv Lavo Mitzrayim, Vayomer El Sarai Ishto, Hinei Na Yadati Ki Isha Yifat Mar'at. Right, if the Egyptians see you, they will say she is his wife, this beautiful woman. They'll kill me and they'll keep you alive in order to take you. Right, say that you are my sister, and in order that they will do good things for me because of you. And allow me to live because of you. Now, that last phrase is difficult. Some people simply explain that means that they would keep him alive, right? Others explain it, in a somewhat more difficult manner, that Avraham was saying, they will, because you are beautiful and will think that I am your brother, they will give me all sorts of gifts because of you. More on that in a moment. That's a potentially troubling explanation. Vayhi kevo Avraham Mitzrayim v'vayiru haMitzrayim taisha ki yafahim od. Right, indeed, everybody saw that Sarai was beautiful, as Avraham predicted. Vayiru ota Sarai Paro v'yihalu ota el Paro v'tukach haisha beit Paro. And the The ministers of Paro praised her beauty to Paro, who came and took her to his palace. Avraham eti bavura, and indeed, Avraham was given all sorts of nice things. Vayihi lo tzon v'akar v'chamarim v'avadim v'shvachot v'atonot ugmalim. Vayinaga Hashem et Paro negaim gedolim v'et beito al dvar sarai eshet Avraham. Right, but then Hashem smites Paro with some sort of plague because of what he did. Vayikra Paro l'Avraham vayomer ma zot asita li lama lo higalata li ki ishtecha hi. Right, why did you tell me she was your wife? Right, why would you do this to me? Lama amarta achotihi vekachota li liisha v'ata hine ishtecha kach v'lech. Right, why did you say that she was your sister? Why did you, and then I took her for my wife. Right, now here's your wife, go. Vayitzav alav Paro anashim v'yishalchu oto v'et ishto v'et kol shelo. And Paro assigns men to basically forcefully take them out of the land. And the stories, of course, are strikingly similar. And yet one senses the difference between them. While in both cases it seems that the king acted innocently, meaning did not took Sarai, not realizing that she was married to Avraham. There's a different feel to the two stories. For starters, the story in Egypt, Hashem smites Paro and his house with Nigaim. Right, there's some sort of plague, wherein. And then Paro realizes that something's up and he calls to Avraham. In the Avimelech story, Hashem prevents Avimelech from sinning and says to him that if he does not return Sarah, he and all that he has will die. Now, at the end, it's clear that there is something that they are smitten with, right? This, for some reason, they cannot give birth, right? So they are smitten with some sort of illness of sorts. But somehow it seems a little less... it seems that they are prevented from having children. It doesn't seem that they're given some sort of nega, some sort of actual plague, in the usual sense of the word. In other words, it seems somewhat more a softer type of punishment. Also, at the end of the story, Paro throws them out forcefully, right? And the story foreshadows in many ways the later story of Bnei Israel and Paro, and Yitziat Mitzrayim. You know, there are many parallels between the story of Bnei Israel and Mitzrayim and this story. Look, for example, in the commentary of the Ramban, Nachmanides, on this story in Perek Yud Bet of Breshit, where he spells out some of the parallels. But that comparison cannot be complimentary, right? It's not good to be compared to the Paro of Sefer Shemot. Whereas Avimelech says that they can stay in the land. You know, he gives them a choice of where they can live. Whereas clearly in both stories, we have an example of a king taking for himself, you know, the choice woman that he wants. At least one reading of the story of Avraham and Sarai in Egypt emphasizes this ability of the king just to take whatever he wants. The Sforno has an interesting interpretation of the story that when Avraham says, "Lamani tavli ba'avurech v'chaitan afshi biglalech," what he's saying is, if they think that I'm your brother, then they will give me all sorts of good things because they're going to come to me wanting to marry you, meaning I'll be the one in charge of your matchmaking, and they will kind of try to sweeten me up by giving me all sorts of gifts. And indeed, this is what happened, as the Sforno explains. And but then when the ministers of Paro describe Sarai to Paro, well, that kind of put an end to all of that, because once Paro wanted her, then nobody else could do this bargaining. In the commentary written by Kasuto, he fleshes this opinion out a little bit more, in a very interesting, detailed explanation of what exactly was going on here, both what Avraham did that was okay and what he did wrong. It's an interesting pirush for those who are interested in looking at it. He fleshes that a bit more, and he says that the plan would have worked great because Avraham could keep pushing off people who wanted to take Sarai, saying, no, no, she's worth more, she's worth more, she's more worth more, until Paro wanted her. And at that point, his whole plan fell apart because he could no longer push off Paro. The one person who he couldn't say no to had come to take his wife away. Anyway, although Avimelech also takes the woman that he wants without asking too many questions, this reading of the story of Abraham and Sarai in Egypt emphasizes this aspect of Paro, right? That the king can do whatever he wants, taking the woman that he wants, you know, without anybody being able to object. And then, of course, there's the conversation between Avimelech and Hashem, and also between Avimelech and Abraham, where Avimelech emphasizes, I mean, I'm innocent, I'm God-fearing, I would have never done this, right? And Hashem concurs, he agrees to this. He says, I know that you would never have done this. So in the end, although the stories are extremely similar, one walks away from the two stories with a very different feeling. The feeling that one is left with Avimelech is that he's almost an innocent victim. And with Paro, that more that he's like a defensive thug. Now the most interesting part of the Avimelech story, however, comes from a careful look, which we haven't done yet, at Avimelech's words to Hashem, which, not insignificantly, is the one thing that is missing in the parallel story, where no such conversation takes place. Right, Paro and Hashem never speak to each other, whereas in the story with Avimelech, of course, that's a major part of the story, and a major part of our understanding, like what's going on behind the story, what's going on in the minds of the mind of Avimelech, and also of Hashem, so to speak. So let's take another careful look at that. Vayavo Elohim el Avimelech b'chalom halayla. Vayomer lo, hincha met al ha'isha shelakachta v'hibulat ba'al. Right, you're going to die because you took this married woman. V'Avimelech lo karav ileha. Vayomer Adonai ha'goy gam tzadik taharog. Are you also going to kill an innocent nation? Right? And then he goes on to say, as we've seen, right, he said that she was his sister, etc. I did this innocently, I didn't mean to do it. And then Hashem agrees. And then Hashem says, "V'ata hashevet ha'ish ki navihu, hashev eishet ha'ish ki navihu ve'itpalel ba'atcha v'achyeh." Right, he will pray for you when you return his wife. He will pray for you, and you will live. Avimelech, hearing that Sarah is already married, is careful not to do anything, and with her, and he says, "Hagoy gam tzadik taharog." Will you also kill an innocent nation? Now the question, of course, is what is he exactly referring to? Right, Hagoy gam tzadik taharog. Will you also kill an innocent nation? You know, is inclusive of something else, right? Implying that there's something else that had been done in the past to a different nation. Rashi suggests that he means that his innocent nation will be killed in addition to other guilty nations, right? And he specifically mentions, Rashi, you know, for example, the generation of the flood or the generation of the Dor HaHaflaga, right? The generation of Migdal Bavel. Never mind that there we're not talking about just one nation, right? It's not a goy, it's the world, basically. And that in the Dor HaHaflaga, no one is really killed or destroyed, or at least not in the regular sense. Most of the other classical mefarshim are caught up in trying to understand the term goy, right? Why he says ha-goy gam tzadik tarog, where here really only Avimelech is involved. Although Hashem does say, right, v'chol asher lach, that if you don't give Sarah back, then you and all that is yours will be killed, right? So we're not talking just about Avimelech here. So he could be talking about, you know, a somewhat more general punishment of his people and not just of him. The more obvious answer, in my opinion, right, requires us to look no further than the previous story in Perek Yutet, right? That being, of course, the story of the destruction of Sodom. There, Avraham prays to Hashem to save Sodom. And indeed, in Perek Yutchet, right, the story where the three angels come to Avraham, and the angels come for two purposes, or three, depending on how you count, but clearly in the story for two purposes. One, to tell Abraham that he's about to have a child with Sarah, and the other, that he's going to destroy Sodom. And it says in the story there that Hashem decides to tell Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom because he knows that Abraham will stand up for justice, right? He will try to fight for the city, right? Because that seems to be what Hashem wants Avraham to do. That is Hashem's, that is Avraham's purpose. That is what he is meant to do. Right, Hashem says there, Ki yedati v'man asher yitzaveh et banav, lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. Right, I know about him that he is going to teach his children to do tzedakah u'mishpat, to teach them about righteousness, about justice. Right, that is what Avraham is meant to do. Right, there are some who say that is why Avraham was chosen in the first place, because he had that tendency. Now, ultimately, as we know, that sinful city, right, the goy lot tzedik, was not savable, and yet, for some reason, it was Avraham's job to try, right? To try to save the city, to see if there was any way of saving the city, to see if there was anybody who could save that city. And in the end, there was only one tzaddik, Lot, and he was taken out, and that's how justice is served. But the city itself could not be saved because they were all chotim, all sinners. And the very next story takes Avraham and Sarah to Gerar. Now, there are two possible things going on in the story in Gerar. One, right, is that the perception of God in the world is now one of destroyer. and the wary, almost antagonistic words of Avimelech challenge God. And when he's about to be punished for something he didn't really mean to do, he says, are you going to destroy everyone, God? Right? Even the good nations you're going to destroy? And Hashem tells him not to worry, right? That Avraham, his servant, will be put on the case, and he will again pray, and this time he's going to pray for an innocent nation. And because Hashem is a just God, right, this time Avraham will be successful. Right, so in this way it kind of fixes the perception of an unjust God. Another possibility is that Avraham himself was in need of direction, right? Having understood his role as one of prayer, right, and having tried to save Sodom and having failed, right, perhaps he was feeling a little bit confused in his role. So, you know, some interpret this story of Avimelech and Avraham as one in which Avraham is kind of stumbling and confused, right? If you read Avraham's response again to Avimelech, right, it seems a little bit rambling, right? He gives many different explanations for the same thing as to why he did what he did, and he even describes himself as a bit lost, right? Kaasher hit'u oto Elokim, right? God caused me to wander from my father's house, every place that I would go, I would say that she is my sister, right? So he describes himself as a wanderer, as someone who was a little bit lost, right? One possible way of looking at the story. So through the story of Avimelech, right, through Avimelech's questioning of God's ways, his justice, and through Hashem's response to Avimelech, right, Hashem is able to reaffirm to Avraham, to teach Avraham again what his role is, right, which is, right, to pray for those in need of defense, right, a role which will be successful when the recipients of Avraham's intervention are worthy of being saved, right. So in this way, either intentionally or not, Avimelech is Avimelech's role. He's used in the story as the one who helps Avraham get back on track, right, to reaffirm what Avraham's role is, and together with that, to reaffirm that Hashem is a just God who doesn't just go around destroying everyone, it seems, you know, other than perhaps Avraham's family, but one who destroys only those who need to be destroyed, but who is a just God who will forgive those who are worthy of receiving forgiveness.